Hello, dear listeners. It is I, the Duchess's Jester, coming to you once again from Her Majesty's carriage, Demora. And it is a sunny Wednesday morning as I am recording this. I am on my way to the workday at the candy shop. Wednesdays are a funny thing, aren't they? It's not the beginning of the week, it's not the end of the week, it just kind of is. Of course, this is a shorter work week for me because Hubby Billy and I had a long weekend. And sometimes those long weekends make the short work week feel long, too. Not quite sure how that happens, but... So how are you? What are you up to? You know, you can email me at djstarsage@gmail.com. And I'm on Twitter at TFNDJ. This Saturday, the Duchess Sue and I will be live on Pride48.com at 5 p.m. Eastern. Won't you join us? We took the summer off, and the Duchess has relocated from her Eastern compound to her Midtown compound. So we shall check in with her and find out how that went. And in a couple of days, it is going to be the first day of fall. Now, I don't know about you, but fall is one of my favorite times of year. It's possibly my most favorite time of year. And this year it's going to be a little bit different because, of course, all those happiest memories that I have, or many of those happy memories, are, of course, associated with food. And this year it's going to be a little different because we're going to try to explore healthier varieties or alternatives to those favorite memories of fall. Now, Hubby and I have already made gluten-free donuts in our home. And for those of you who may not be aware, my husband actually does have a wheat allergy. So I'm not just going on the bandwagon. This is something where it's easier to shop for one menu versus two. But we have made donuts in our kitchen that are gluten-free, and this is done with alternative flours, either banana flour or coconut flour. So I'm hoping that we could explore a cider donut that's gluten-free, and perhaps even make some maple frosting for those donuts. That would be exciting. And, well, I haven't discovered or located, per se, a lower sugar cider as of yet, but I will do my best to find that and I will let you know. Let's see, what else do we have coming? Well, this weekend is the premiere of Star Trek Discovery on CBS. Can you believe it? It has been 12 years since there was a new Star Trek on television. And I, for one, am most certainly excited because now I have something new to watch. And it's not often that I get excited about television anymore these days. See, we are almost done watching the third season of Star Trek Enterprise. I'm reliving some of the moments that I'd forgotten about. We've just watched an episode called E Squared. And in this particular episode, the Enterprise is on its way to a rendezvous with an enemy faction who has called a truce, or at least a momentary ceasefire, the Zindi. Captain Archer has some evidence that he's provided to show these aliens that they have been coerced into believing that humans were their enemy. It was a very interesting episode because it explored alternate timeline where Enterprise was not successful in its mission and the ship became generational. In other words, the crew had their families aboard the ship. They were in a situation where they stayed aboard and married and had children, raised families, and this continued on and on to preserve the ship. And the crew met the crew of the existing timeline, I guess you'd say, met their counterparts' children, because it's been a century or so that the other ship has been trying to correct the timeline. And we get to meet a much older T'Pol, the science officer of Enterprise. And we get to meet the children of the crew, or at least I believe it was termed that they were their great-grandchildren. Very interesting episode. Almost done with season 3. There is one more season. I'm going to try to squeeze that in this weekend. And Sunday is the premiere at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on CBS. Now, if you weren't already aware, you will only be able to see the pilot on broadcast television. Much alike Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, CBS is now creating programming that's only available through their streaming service, All Access. So, I've been talking about it for quite a while, and I'm sort of changing subjects here. I have been wanting to explore another realm of video gaming. Now, I have always been a Nintendo fanboy. I grew up having a Nintendo and NES in my home. When I moved out on my own, I bought a Nintendo 64 at the time, and I have always enjoyed the Mario and Zelda game series and Metroid, but I'm not very sold on the Nintendo Switch because, unlike, frankly, all other consoles, the Switch does not have access to streaming services like Netflix or Amazon. So I see that as a downfall, because why should the price of a gaming system be within $20 of another that has all those services? I just don't see the value. So after much anticipation, I finally ordered my PlayStation 4. I'm actually getting the Pro, because honestly, I am not one of those who likes to be late to the game when I have a choice. I understand that there's probably going to be a new generation of the console coming out before too long, but if I have any choice in the matter, I'm going to try to stay as current as possible, especially since the unit is already at least a couple of years old. Regardless, my PlayStation 4 will be arriving tonight. And what that means is that Hubby and I are one step closer to cutting the cord with our television service. We're one of those folks that got roped into a contract. So we are looking forward to signing up for our PlayStation View service. And just holding on to the handful or so of channels that we have enjoyed over the years. And of course, one of those things that we will have access to is CBS All Access, so that we can continue watching Star Trek Discovery. So I am very excited about that. And last night was apparently a premiere party for Discovery. I want to say that it was probably in Hollywood at the Man's Chinese Theater. And I'm trying to avoid spoilers, although I do believe CBS has been very strict about the content that they've allowed out. One of the people that I follow online is a technical consultant for the Star Trek mythos, Michael Okuda. He and his wife Denise created many of the on-screen graphics that were used for the ship's consoles in Star Trek over the years, including Star Trek The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and probably Enterprise. So the Okudas had mentioned that they were invited to the premiere party, but they would not be sharing any spoilers, probably because they would like to continue to work in the industry. So it looks fantastic, and I'm intending to put Hubby Billy to work in the coming months. I would like a uniform from Star Trek Discovery to wear to the convention we're attending in February. If you are in the Baltimore area, myself, Hubby Billy, and Toppy Smelly will be attending the Farpoint convention. And I do believe that's the 9th or 10th-ish of February in the northern Baltimore area known as Timonium. And this is the 25th anniversary of the convention, I do believe. It's a fan-run convention, so there's not a lot of merchandising and no one's jumping down your shirt to sell you an autograph. So it should prove to be a fun event. And let's see, what else do we have going on? Well, my sister Ronnie has invited me to come to her place to look through family photos. And I talked about this not long ago. This is sort of a makeup date because, well, they decided to have a get-together with Mr. Mooney, our stepdad, on a Sunday, and that's a no-no in my world. I do not leave the house on Sundays because there's a good chance my husband may be home and I'd like to spend the day with him instead. And Ronnie has asked me to come down 2 weekends in a row, which is also a no-no in my book because when it comes to equal time, well, let's just say it's not in the rule book for my family because, as I may have mentioned, I live just over an hour from my family and I can count on one hand the amount of times they've come to my doorway, and we have been in our house 5 years. So, not exactly a fair assessment of time. But it was interesting because at my nephew's wedding, my sister Betty mentioned that some of the pictures in the collection were of my brother Jughead's family. And, well, as far as dating is concerned, let's just say Jughead's style is pretty much Baskin-Robbins. And he's not fond of some of his portraits because, well, they involve former leading ladies, let's just say. And for some reason, he thought there might be a way to creatively edit these women out. Well, we're not going to invest a whole lot of time in that because sometimes you just have to live with your choices. So as I'm driving in to work at the candy shop, there are a couple of pictures in the back end of my car of my brother with former leading ladies. And my nephews have the misfortune of having to pose with them. So, certainly interesting. Well, I hope you have a good week. I hope you're enjoying your week. Reach out to me and let me know what you think of my show. The Faraway Nearby, once again, will be live this Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. And there's only a handful of shows left until the end of the year. So go ahead and go over to tfnpodcast.com and take our listener survey and let us know what you've been enjoying, the topics you'd like to have us discuss in future episodes. And hopefully we can get to tickling your fancy a little bit more often. So I will say goodbye to you for now. And have a good week. Bye-bye.
This program is a proud member of UniVoz. Unified, unique voices. Learn more at UniVozPods.net.